So this is chapter 15 of Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, called The Quidditch Final. He sent me this, said Hermione, holding out the letter. Harry took it. The parchment was damp. An enormous teardrop had smudged the ink so badly in places that it was difficult to read. Dear Hermione, we lost. I'm allowed to bring him back to Hogwarts. Execution date to be fixed. Beaky has enjoyed London. I won't forget all the help you gave us. Hagrid. They can't do this, said Harry. They can't. Buckbeak isn't dangerous. Malfoy's dad frightened the committee into it, said Hermione, wiping her tears. You know what he's like. They're a bunch of doddery old fools, and they were scared. There'll be an appeal, though. There always is. Only I can't see any hope. Nothing will have changed. Yeah, Will said Ron fiercely. You won't have to do all the work this time, Hermione. I'll help. Oh, Ron. Hermione flung her arms around Ron's neck and broke down completely. Ron, looking quite terrified, patted her very awkwardly on the top of her head. Finally, Hermione drew away. Ron, I'm really, really sorry about what happened to Scabbers, she sobbed. Oh, well, he was old, said Ron, looking thoroughly relieved that she'd let go of him. He was a bit useless. You never know, Mom and Dad might get me an owl now.
Doubtful.
The safety measures imposed on the students since Black's second break-in made it impossible for Harry, Ron, and Hermione to go and visit Hagrid during the evenings. Their only chance of talking to him was during Care of Magical Creatures lessons. He seemed numb with shock at the verdict. It's all my fault. Got all tongue-tied. They was all sitting... Oh, wait. What do you want me to do with it? Okay. They was all sitting there in their black robes, and kept dropping me notes and forgetting them dates, and you looked up for me, Hermione. And then Lucius Malfoy stood up and said his bit, and the committee just did exactly what he told them. There's still the appeal, said Ron fiercely. Don't give up yet. We're working on it. You think he could have hired a lawyer or something? Someone who actually knew how to speak, right? Or Hermione could have gone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up yet. We're working on it, Ron said. They were walking back up to the castle with the rest of the class. Ahead, they could see Malfoy, who was walking with Crabbe and Goyle, and kept looking back, laughing derisively. It's no good, Ron. Oh, sorry. It's no good, Ron, said Hagrid sadly as they reached the castle steps. That committee in Lucius Malfoy's pocket. I'm just gonna make sure the rest of Bucky's time is the happiest he's ever had. I owe him that. I'm not good with this.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I was laughing at Hagrid calling him Bucky.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he called him Beaky, sorry.
Oh, Beaky.
Whatever. Yeah. Bucky would make more sense. Beaky, they all have beaks. Hagrid turned around and hurried back towards his cabin, his face buried in his handkerchief. Look at him, blubber. Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle had been standing just inside the castle doors, listening. Have you ever seen anything quite as pathetic, said Malfoy. And he's supposed to be our teacher. Harry and Ron had both made furious moves. towards Malfoy, but Hermione got there first. Smack! She slapped Malfoy across his face with all the strength she could muster. Malfoy staggered. Harry, Ron, Crabbe, and Goyle stood flabbergasted as Hermione raised her hand again. Don't you dare call Hagrid pathetic, you foul, you evil. Hermione, said Ron weakly as he tried to grab her hand and she swung it all back. Get off, Ron. Hermione pulled out her wand. Malfoy stepped backwards. Crabbe and Goyle looked at him for instructions, thoroughly bewildered. Come on, Malfoy muttered. In a moment, all three of them had disappeared into the passageway to the dungeons. Hermione, said Ron again. Sounded both stunned and impressed. Harry, you just better beat him in the Quidditch final, Hermione said shrilly. You just better head, because I can't stand it if Slytherin wins. We're doing charms, said Ron, still goggling at Hermione. We'd better go. They hurried up the marble staircase towards Professor Flitwick's classroom. You're late, boys, said Professor Flitwick reprovingly as Harry opened the classroom door. Come quickly, your wand's out. We're experimenting with cheering charms today. We've already divided into pairs. Harry and Ron hurried to the desk in the back and opened their bags. Ron looked behind him. Where's Hermione gone? Harry looked around too. Hermione hadn't entered the classroom, yet Harry knew she'd been right next to him when she opened the door. That's weird, said Harry, staring at Ron. Maybe she went to the bathroom or something. But Hermione didn't turn up at all. She could have done with a cheering charm on her own, said Ron. As the class left for lunch, all grinning broadly, the cheering charms had left them with a feeling of great contentment. Hermione wasn't at lunch either. By the time they had finished their apple pie, the after effects of the cheering charms were wearing off, and Harry and Ron had started to get slightly worried. You don't think Malfoy did something to her, did you? Said Ron anxiously as they hurried up Gryffindor Tower. They passed the security trolls, gave the fat lady the password, and scrambled through the portrait hole into the common room. Hermione was sitting at a table fast asleep, her head resting on an open arithmancy book. They went to sit down on either side of her. Harry prodded her awake. What? Said Hermione, waking with a start and staring wildly around. Is it time to go? Which lesson have we got now? Divination, but it's not for another 20 minutes, said Harry. Hermione, why don't you come to charms? What? Oh no, Hermione squeaked. I forgot to go to charms. But how could you forget, said Harry. You were with us till we were right outside the classroom. Oh, I don't believe it, Hermione wailed. Was Professor Flitwick angry? Oh, it was Malfoy. I was thinking about him and I lost track of things. You know what, Hermione, said Ron, looking down at the enormous arithmancy book Hermione has been using as a pillow. I reckon you're cracking up. You're trying to do too much. No, I'm not, said Hermione, brushing her hair out of her eyes and staring hopelessly around for her bag. I just made a mistake, that's all. I'd better go and see Professor Flitwick and say sorry. I'll see you in divination. Hermione joined them at the foot of the ladder to Professor Trelawney's classroom 20 minutes later, looking extremely harried. Harassed. I can't believe I missed cheering charms. I bet they come up in our exams. Professor Flitwick hinted they might. She's so worried about things. Together, they climbed the ladder to the dim, stifling tower. Glowing on every little table was a crystal ball full of pearly white mist. Harry, Ron, and Hermione sat down together at the same rickety table. I thought we weren't starting crystal balls until next term, Ron muttered, casting a wary eye around for Professor Trelawney in case she was looking nearby. Don't complain, this means we've finished palmistry, said Harry. I was getting sick of her flinching every time she looked at my hands. Good day to you, said a familiar misty voice, and Professor Trelawney made her usual dramatic entrance out of the shadows. Parvati and Lavender quivered with excitement, their faces lit by the milky glow of their crystal ball. I have decided to introduce the crystal ball a little earlier than I had planned, said Professor Trelawney, sitting with her back to the fire and gazing. The fates have informed me that your examination in June will concern the orb, and I am anxious to give you sufficient practice. Hermione snorted. Well, honestly, the fates have informed her. Who sets the exam? She does. What an amazing prediction. She said, not troubling to keep her voice low. Harry and Ron choked back laughs. It was hard to tell whether Professor Trelawney had heard them. Are you okay, Boo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As her face was hidden, you're picking at your... Come here, Boo. As her face was hidden in shadow. She continued, however, as though she had not. Crystal gazing is a particularly refined art, she said dreamily. I do not expect any of you to see when you first peer into the orb's infinite depths. We shall start by practicing relaxing the conscious mind and external eyes. Ron began to snicker uncontrollably, and he had to stuff his fist in his mouth to stifle the noise, so as to clear the inner eye and the superconscious. Perhaps, if we are lucky, some of you will begin to see before the end of class. And so they began. Harry, at least, feeling extremely foolish, stared blankly at the crystal ball, trying to keep his mind empty when thoughts such as, this is stupid, kept drifting across it. It didn't help that Ron kept breaking into silent giggles and Hermione kept tutting. "Seen anything yet?" Harry asked them after a quarter of an hour was crystal gazing. "Yeah, there's a burn on this table," said Ron, pointing. "Someone spilled their candle." "This is such a waste of time," Hermione hissed. "I could be practicing something useful. I could be catching up on cheering charms." Professor Trelawney rustled past. "Would anybody like me to help them interpret the shadowy portents within their orb?" she murmured over the clinking of her bangs. "I don't need any help," Ron whispered. "It's obvious what this means. There's going to be loads of fog tonight." Both Harry and Hermione burst out laughing. "No, really," said Professor Trelawney, as everyone's heads turned in their direction. Parvati and Lavender were looking scandalous.
You're looking scandalized. They're looking scandalous. They're bustiers and maids.
Exactly. "You're disturbing the clairvoyant vibrations." She approached their table and peered into their crystal ball. Harry felt his heart sinking. He was sure he knew what was coming. "There's something here," Professor Trelawney whispered, lowering her face to the ball, so that it was reflected twice in her huge glasses. "Something moving. But what is it?" Harry was prepared to bet everything he owned, including his firebolt, that it wasn't good news, whatever it was. And sure enough, "My dear," Professor Trelawney breathed, gazing up at Harry, "it is here, plainer than ever. My dear, stalking you, growing ever closer.
Oh, for goodness sake," said Hermione loudly. "Not that ridiculous grim again."
Professor Trelawney raised her enormous eyes to Hermione's face. Parvati whispered something to Lavender, and they both glared at Hermione, too. Professor Trelawney stood up, surveying Hermione with unmistakable anger. "I'm sorry to say that from the moment you have arrived in this class, my dear, it has been apparent that you do not have what the noble art of divination requires. Indeed, I don't remember ever meeting a student whose mind was so hopelessly mundane." There was a moment's silence. Then, "Fine," said Hermione suddenly, getting up and cramming, unfogging the future back into her bag. "Fine," she repeated, swinging her bag over his shoulder and almost knocking Ron off his chair. "I give up. I'm leaving." And to the whole class's amazement, Hermione strode over to the trapdoor, kicked it open, and climbed the ladder out of sight. It took a few moments for the class to settle down again. Professor Trelawney seemed to have forgotten all about the grim. She turned abruptly from Harry and Ron's table, breathing rather heavily, as she tugged her gauzy shawl more closely to her. "Ooh," said Lavender suddenly, making everyone start. "Ooh, Professor Trelawney, I just remembered. You saw her leaving, didn't you? Didn't you, Professor? Around Easter, one of our number will leave us forever? You said it ages ago, Professor." Professor Trelawney gave a dewy smile. "Yes, my dear. I did indeed know that Miss Granger would be leaving us. One hopes, however, that one might have mistaken the signs. The inner eye can be a burden, you know." Lavender and Parvati looked deeply impressed and moved over so that Professor Trelawney could join their table instead. "Someday Hermione's having a," Ron muttered to Harry, looking odd. "Yeah." Harry glanced into the crystal ball but saw nothing but swirling white mist. Had Professor Trelawney really seen the grim again? Would he? The last thing he needed was another near-fatal accident, but with a Quidditch final drawing ever nearer.
You could probably stop them.
Yeah. Hey, Boo. I love you so much. My sweet kitty. You're a good kitty. I love you, Boo.
I love you.
We'll listen to this later. I hope you have a good night. Sweet girl, sweetheart.